Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And an old friend.
You said old. You put an emphasis on old.
Well, we got to be in around that same, you know, same category, but from a different time. Mr. Ed Fallone, Attorney Ed Fallone.
Still an attorney.
Has joined us, and it's good to see you, my friend. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm always willing to come out here. You moved further away. Now you're in Waukesha. It takes longer, but I'll come out anytime you want.
Well, we're going to be calling on you because you've been at the vanguard of a lot of fights and battles in your time in the city. And so I've always been honored to offer you an opportunity to come on where people can get to know who you are. And you're a guy who's always willing to fight a good fight.
And you're someone who's just telling the truth, which is important. And we need people like you, Earl.
Well, listen, man, you were just doing another great job in the position that you were just in, and that was the chairman of the Fire and Police Commission. For those for people who don't know, what that title is and what that consisted of. Can you briefly give them a summary?
Certainly. You know, it's amazing to me. The residents of Milwaukee don't realize that for 135 plus years, we had a civilian oversight body over our police and fire with substantial power. The kind of thing that people in Minneapolis are marching to get, people in Seattle, New York City are marching to have, we've had for 135 years. And the Fire and Police Commission, it must approve every single hiring of anyone down to custodian, from the chief of police to the custodian within police and fire, promotions. Anyone who gets promoted, we have to approve. We'll interview them. We'll talk to them. We'll ask them questions about their record. Why did you do this? And then up until the passage of Act 12 by the state legislature, as part of this whole local government funding bill and the sales tax that's going to rescue Milwaukee from bankruptcy, stuck in there, out of sight so no one would notice, what they took away was our power to set policies, to do things like tell the police, you're not going to use no-knock warrants anymore in the city of Milwaukee. Tell the police, you're not going to use chokeholds anymore. And our most recent, telling the police, within 15 days after a critical shooting, when the police officers seriously injure or kill someone.
You want to see the footage.
We want to see the footage. And that power to set policy was taken away by the legislators in the state government, particularly Speaker of the State Assembly, Robin Voss. And now that's gone. And that's why I resigned and Amanda Avalos resigned in protest of that.
So what people need to know is, with all those over a century that board had been there, mm-hmm. It hadn't been operating in its full capacity, it's safe to say. And you came in, and there had been others before you, but none to the degree that you had worked on kind of realizing the true power of the board and utilizing it.
Well, that's exactly right. And I don't want to mislead. The board did not have policymaking authority for that full 135 plus years. That came later. But it was pretty much a board of civilians that would get recommendations from the police chief and the fire chief and sort of rubber stamp.
Right.
Just make sure that everything was okay, but didn't really push any change. And as long as the board wasn't pushing progressive change, I guess state Republicans were willing to leave it alone. Or maybe when the board went through its period of dysfunction and it couldn't even get people, couldn't even get a quorum to hold a meeting, Republicans were fine with us having that authority. But once we got our act together and we started incremental and not radical stuff.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about each one of these changes I specified took like a year of study and debate and discussion and consulting with the police, right? And nothing was knee-jerk about any of this. Very thoughtful, deliberative, progressive change. That's when we apparently became too dangerous.
Well, but they also upgraded the board members. It's safe to say that. You know, I remember some of the people who were on the board even long before you got there.
Yeah.
And they clearly, a lot of it was patronage.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, you make a really good point, Earl. The board is independent, right? Civilian, unelected, independent. And I think, in my personal opinion, we've had mayors over the years who saw, you know, an independent oversight board responsible for police as a threat to the mayor's authority and didn't necessarily want to put right. good, high-quality people on that board. It was something new, something unusual. The last 2 years, it's been the most impressive group of people I've ever served with in any charitable board or professional capacity. I mean, every single member of that board is a heavy hitter, and that's one reason we were able to make the change we did.
I just about know everybody that's on that board. And so people may say, well, you know, what are you guys, you're anti-police. you know, and this is what has always frustrated me, Ed. If you question law enforcement in certain areas in this society, then you are anti-police.
Right. Nothing could be further from the truth, Earl. I mean, we hired Chief Jeff Norman.
Good man.
He had been a candidate for chief. Before I came in, the board had not backed him. I rallied support. He is a fantastic police chief for the city, and we support him fully. Now, how can you call people who support the chief of police anti-police, right? What it really means is that the union says we're anti-officer. But then again, we're not. We've been working like crazy to get as many police on the streets of Milwaukee as we can. Our hands were tied before this shared revenue bill passed because there was only so much money. But we worked like hell because the citizens, the residents of Milwaukee want safe streets. So we were trying to put more police on the street. We care deeply about the safety of the men and women who put on the uniform because, you know, they're working hard for the city. They're incredibly difficult jobs. We want them to be safe. One reason we banned no-knock warrants is because it's incredibly dangerous for the officers to knock down a door unannounced in a city where it seems like every other person has a gun in their right. house. And we didn't think that was acceptable, that risk to their lives. So we've not been anti-police at all. We've been pro-police. And I think that there's this interesting thing, and I'll just share this with you. As someone who's, you know, I've been in public life over 30 years, I've worked with a lot of institutions, and I've worked closely with the Catholic Church. I was once on the Board of Trustees of Catholic Charities. I've worked closely with the police. And in both those instances, you know, I found that, you know, people who wear the uniform, sometimes they, if you question them, they just want to point to the uniform and say, hey, no questions allowed. And if you push it and say, no, wait a minute, what you're telling me makes no sense, the person in the uniform doesn't like that. They don't like being questioned. They're used to everyone just seeing the collar for the priest or seeing the uniform for the police officer and doing what they say.
You know, Ed, that is such a great parallel. You know, I tell people all the time, I know because I've lived in the city my entire life, I know a lot of retired police officers. I know a lot of present police officers. I know the chief well, a good friend. And they don't mind you questioning. Mm-hmm. There's a segment of the police department, and it's unfortunate that they are supported by conservative talk radio, mm-hmm. and others who say, well, that law enforcement should be able to do whatever it is they want to do and take away the freedoms of citizens when they're supposed to be there to do what? Protect the freedoms of citizens, not take away. And so the good law enforcement officers, mm-hmm. and there are a whole lot more of them than there are renegade officers, don't support the officers who are doing wrong. So why is it that we have a legislature, you know, and led by Robin Voss and others who think that it does not matter what officers do to citizens. We've got to protect the officer.
Well, that's the question. And this is not unique to Wisconsin. We see it around the country. And there's two reasons why state legislatures act against progressive policing. The first is, you know, Robin Voss, his district in Wisconsin, I think, has Burlington as its major urban hub. And the way that our maps, our legislative maps in Wisconsin have been gerrymandered, we have a minority of rural country legislators who have the power over the majority of our urban residents.
Which just makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, they did it on purpose, right? But it allows them to impose their will on the majority. And so, and they have no consequence. That's the first thing, is there's no accountability. The people of Milwaukee don't have the ability to punish any of the state legislators who voted in favor of this, who pushed it through because of gerrymandering. And the second really important factor, and policing is one of those hot button issues that you see candidates ride like crazy during elections, right? The last Supreme Court election for a state, you know, the ads for the conservative candidate.
All about law.
Crime, yeah. Crime. You should be scared, you know? I want you to vote for me because you're scared, and I'm going to make you scared, right? When what we have in Milwaukee is community policing, bringing residents together with police.
Which is working really well.
Crime rates are down, and there's a lot of trust being developed. The police officers will tell you they're seeing more calls for service, more business owners, residents appreciative of the police than they've seen in years. It works, and you can't lose that election issue if you're a conservative. You can't have a city, an urban environment with safe policing that is effective.
So we've got to go to a break. My guest is Mr. Ed Pallone. He's the former executive director.
Chair
of the Fire and Police Commission in the city of Milwaukee. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. It's a walk. Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is Mr. Ed Pallone. He's the former board chair of the Milwaukee Fire and Police Commission, and he has resigned along with the co-chair in a protest, clearly, of what happened with the... What was that called?
Well, Act 12 is what Act we 12. Call the law, but it was the law that gave more money to city and municipal governments through sales tax and shared revenue.
And it clearly was, and you know, I don't know any other way to say it, put a gun to the head of the alder people and the county board people of Milwaukee County and the city, and forced them. Mm-hmm. Gave him no choice.
For the elected leaders of the city of Milwaukee and the county, it's extortion. It's you have to accept our demands or we're going to starve you to death. But for the Fire and Police Commission, we were not involved at all in the negotiations. We were just sort of taken captive by other people. And you know, said, well, you've got to you know, kill your baby, city, if you want your money. So as far as the Fire and Police Commission, I say it's not extortion. It's the moral equivalent of kidnapping, really, what they did to us. And by tying everything, these important policy changes, how will civilians be able to oversee police? They avoided public debate. They avoided public scrutiny by sticking it into a funding bill when everyone just says, you know, we need the money. So you're throwing all these things, taking away our right of self-government in the details.
You know, I was so frustrated and angry, like many others, when this came down. And they clearly stated, Robin Voss, where it's up to them now. Well, these are the same people who all the time that Tom Barrett, former mayor, and former county executive Chris Abley were asking for the same thing. Can we get a 1 cent sales tax? They denied them over and over and over. The same people.
Yeah.
And now they've all of a sudden made the decision. Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Dave from Mequon, good morning. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Earl. Really quickly, you know, as far as what happened recently and with your guests removing himself from the board and what have you, I will say this. You know, I'm frustrated as a property owner in the city of Milwaukee with what's happened over the last few years in particular. And the fact that, yes, crime has been down a little bit this year, but keep in mind we had record 3 years in a row of, you know, sky high, you know, car thefts, murders, shootings, and everything else. And I do think, you know, the bigger thing is this: the population of Milwaukee now is the smallest it's been since 1930. You can look at that historical record, and there's a lot of residents, unfortunately, that do not feel safe within the city. And all you have to do is look on Nextdoor, you know, the website, and you see the people, what goes on in the city on a daily basis that's not reported. It's horrendous. I never even realized how bad it was until I actually joined about, I don't know, a year ago, and trying to reach out to some of the local officials saying, hey, listen, you know what? What is going on here with some of this stuff? Because at the end of the day, I understand it was a power play. I understand the people aren't happy with the fact that you had a group of people that are determining what's going on, you know, within the city. But at the same token, the city has been in a downward spiral in the fact that, like you said, the crime has just been, it's just been abysmal, and not just Milwaukee. It's actually been kind of nationwide.
Okay, so Dave, your point.
Mm-hmm. My point is this: is that I do hope, though, going forward, that from what Ed is saying, that people are having a better idea as to, okay, in order to have a healthy city, you have to have a safe city.
Hey, Dave, do you agree that the legislature was right in the way they did this? Do you support that?
I didn't support everything that they did. No, but that's sometimes it's what happens. It's you take, there's a, I guess you take.
Hey Dave, hang on. Go ahead, Ed. You want to respond to anything they said?
Yeah. Dave, you make points that I think are a lot of people, you know, sort of knee jerk in their initial reaction would make, which is, well, you know, city of Milwaukee has a lot of crime. They don't have enough police officers. Something has to be done to save Milwaukeeans from themselves. I really want to push back on that narrative because it's just not accurate. Being on the Fire and Police Commission, we were responsible for recruiting, hiring police. And we did everything in our power to fill the classes. But until this Act 12 was passed, there just wasn't any money to hire people. And so that tied our hands. And then to blame us for not having enough police on the streets when the money has been denied us for years, decades even, that's just not fair. And one of the factors that really has exploded in our
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Ed Filone, and he is the former board chair of Milwaukee's Fire and Police Commission. And Ed, you know, before we went to break, and Dave, who's still hanging on, I guess he, Dave, was there another question you wanted to ask quickly?
So really quickly, I was going to say, in regards with what Ed said, you know, the FBI statistics showed that the last previous 3 years in Milwaukee had record murder. The second thing is that one thing that I will actually compliment the feds on is recently they have been cracking down at a federal level some of the gang activity within the city of Milwaukee. And I think it was just 2 months ago they had arrested, 30 members for murder for hire, robberies, and all sorts of other things. And that's a good thing to take those people off the street because, unfortunately, it doesn't take that many people to cause mayhem.
Hey Dave, let me ask you.
I do think
if Milwaukee is so dangerous and the most dangerous place in the nation, or one of the most dangerous places in the nation, why do so many people come in? You know, we just had the Air and Water Show. We just had Summerfest. We've got the Bucks. We've got the Brewers. People come to this city, whether it's the symphony, whatever it is, people come to this city for entertainment every day all, and they're safe. How often has it been that somebody who's come into our city outside of these situations that occur based on proximity, where and the crime is on one another, and it's based on the fact that somebody got into a beef with somebody else and the easy accessibility to guns is what's making this happen. But people who come to our city from outside of our city have nothing to worry about. When is the last time something happened to somebody who comes into this city, David, all too often?
I hate to deny David the chance to respond, but I did want to make a point, which is raised by both of your comments. You know, as chair of the Fire and Police Commission, I was sitting down with Chief Jeffrey Norman all the time and talking about what's going on. If you rely on the FBI statistics for a picture of what's happening on Milwaukee, you're not seeing the real picture. The real picture in Milwaukee is not a lot of gang violence. Chief Norman will tell you that. The gangs aren't that organized. What's happening in Milwaukee is teenagers with guns and teenagers stealing cars. You're talking about, you know, 15 to 19-year-olds with lethal weapons getting in arguments. It's not organized for a profit motive. It's not tied to any nationwide groups. Why the hell do we give these kids guns? Well, it's because their parents are owning guns in increasing numbers and not taking care of them. So I guess you can blame the parents. It's because people come into Milwaukee from the suburbs and the teenagers know a good way to get a hand on a gun is to break open trunks and break into cars that have license plates that indicate someone's from the North Shore or the West Side of the city, from the burbs, because they're more likely to have a gun in there. And so you have a heavily armed teenage population, and they're acting like stupid teenagers. And so let's not turn this into a cultural thing, and let's not rely on FBI statistics. That gives you a warped idea of what's really happening. And it would be like me, you know, purporting to tell Mequon how to police themselves based on something I read in USA Today. It's just not the reality on the ground.
All right, let's go to Andrew from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Andrew. You say what, sir?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, I got to be honest with you guys. I don't know why you're fighting the reality so much. This guy gave you a very clear statistic. The population has not grown in a long, long time. If the city and the county were as safe and great as you claim it is, the population would have grown a little bit, and it hasn't. And you can blame teenage activity all you want. The guy said, go on next door, read the comments of your neighbors, go knock on your neighbor's door and ask them if they feel safe, if police response is good enough. You guys sit there and make excuses for the worst kinds of people, and I don't understand why.
So hold on, I give you a chance. But clearly, when you dismiss this man in the position that he's in, he saw and knows the real statistics. Okay? Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I'm just confused. There's no cause and effect between the size of the population of Milwaukee and policing policy. The city of Milwaukee population reacts to economic activity, and Milwaukee has not been particularly a strong hub of the new information economy. And then you see this across the country. People move based on economic opportunity, and Milwaukee has been lagging behind because for years and years we had a manufacturer-based and service-based economy, and the new jobs are elsewhere. So what the hell does any of that have to do with policing policy in the city? I don't think it has anything to do with it. What we have that's been implemented that is working is community-based policing, where the police are more present in the community. They respect the rights of residents in order to get residents to cooperate with police. You know, the two biggest ways open cases are solved in the city of Milwaukee, witnesses who cooperate or tips from people who saw the crime. And when you have a population that distrusts the police, feels that the police are abusing them, then they're not going to give tips and they're not going to cooperate. And we've been turning that around, and that's why we've been seeing the change in statistics. Now, we still have a lot of trust to regain based on a long time period where the residents of Milwaukee were, in fact, abused by police. And the police themselves will tell you that. You talk to police today, and I just, my last meeting last week, approved some promotions of some individuals in the police department who talked about how they're seeing more cooperation from residents today than when they started their career 20 years ago, and how helpful that is to them in policing.
And I'll say this to Andrew and David and others. You know, it's easy to point the finger at Milwaukee and say what kind of a cesspool Milwaukee is. But the last time I checked, there's a police department in Waukesha. There's a police department in Mequon. There's a police department in River Hills. There are police all over the place. And if Waukesha was such this, the safest place in the world, why are there police officers here? So you can point the finger at the city of Milwaukee all you want to, and you are not. And if it was as dangerous, again, as you claim it is, then explain why all those people keep coming into our city and leaving without being harmed.
I think, if you want to talk statistics, look at the fact that the number of police officers in the city of Milwaukee and the number of firefighters and EMTs has been shrinking as a percentage of the total population. And that is solely because the state legislature, controlled by individuals who don't live in Milwaukee, don't live near Milwaukee, has been consistently denying the city increases in funding to hire more police, to hire more firefighters. And it wasn't until this most recent law that finally there was enough money available. Inflation increases the cost of everything. You want to hire an entry-level police officer or firefighter, you're competing against jobs with a starting salary that are much higher. And are jobs that are much less stressful, much less disruptive to family life. And yet we can't raise our salaries to be competitive and recruit people. Until recently, the state wouldn't give us the money to do that. They said you have to make do on the same money, even though all the costs are higher. And then you blame the city of Milwaukee because the number of police and fire have been declining. It's just not borne out by the statistics.
Let's go to Paul from Waukesha. Good morning, Paul. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. How are you? Long time no hear.
All right.
I have one question and then a couple points. One, your guest says that he could tell where somebody lives through their license plate. His point is...
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
An SUV with, I don't know what, John Amato Motors of Waukesha, on the license? I don't know. You get all kinds of indicia of where people bought their cars, and that's what the teenagers target. And I'm not just saying this off the top of my head. I'm talking about conversations with Police Chief Jeff Norman about statistics at Bucks games and the number of reports of car break-ins, and you ask them, what did they steal? And the people say, my gun. And they've actually, the Milwaukee police are working with the Milwaukee Bucks to try and do an education campaign to tell folks, leave your guns out of your car when you come to Milwaukee for a sporting event. So this is a significant thing.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, well, I know quite a few people who have, like, concealed carries. I don't own weapons, so I'm not... You guys can't say, oh, well, you're all big pro-gun and this and that and blah, blah, blah. If I was, I would own a weapon. So I don't know very many people who are just nonchalantly traveling to Milwaukee and leaving a gun in their trunk. It sounds a little outlandish. If you know that you're going to a Bucks game, you know you can't bring a weapon there. Chances are that weapon is staying at home. That's my point with that. You guys can, your guests can.
Hey Paul. Thank you very much for the call. The point is, there are people who believe that their lives are in danger if they come to Milwaukee. And so they want to carry their gun. And again, Ed, I don't know the statistics. You and offhand, you probably don't either. But the chances of somebody coming into town to watch a Buck game and being carjacked or shot and killed, that percentage is pretty low, right?
It is. I mean, if you look at the carjackings in the city, very large percentage were, and I'm just going off the statistics that the police department, we'd go over on the commission with the chief. Vast majority of carjackings in the city of Milwaukee, the perpetrators between the age of 13 and 19 or 21. And it's usually just joyriding teenagers, and the car gets dumped afterwards. And so if you're aware of your surroundings and you see a group of teenagers hanging out next to your car, that might not be a good time to get in your car. But these are not crimes motivated by stealing the car to sell it. They're not crimes motivated by any sort of violent intent. These are teenagers. And I think that's really my main point, is that we have a problem in the city of Milwaukee in lack of parental supervision of teens, lack of economic opportunity for teens, lack of mental health resources for teens. And so, there's a million ways we can address the problem of kids getting into really self-destructive and societally destructive behavior. But to then suggest that the city of Milwaukee has a huge crime problem because what we have is a teenage mental health and job problem, I mean, that just doesn't connect.
Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, Ken. So you consider a carjacking not a violent crime?
He didn't say that.
Well, I said it wasn't motivated by any violent intent. These are kids who want a car to joyride in, and then they're going to abandon it. And I will say also, you can tie it into carjacking, but also car theft when the owner is not there. And there it was simply the easy access, to Kias, and how easy it was to break in and steal those that also motivated these.
Ken, your point. Go ahead. What else?
The point being is that's why people, And you're saying that the people that are taking guns into Milwaukee are causing these kids to steal cars and steal their guns.
No, that's not what I said. I'm just talking about what's driving some of this antisocial activity. Easy access to guns and teenagers just being teenagers. And that's what the focus should be. How do we stop those?
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Bill from O'Connor, Milwaukee. I see you. We'll come to you next. Be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, in the studio, my good friend Ed Filone, who is the former board chair of Milwaukee's Fire and Police Commission, and he just resigned as well as his co-chair because of what the state legislature did in taking away the power of the most powerful citizen review board in the nation. I think it was safe to say that's what we had, and they've taken that away. Let's go to Bill from O'Connor Mall. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing? Thank you for the call.
Good morning, Earl. As a gun owner and as an outfitter and as a people that has a lot of guns around them, I don't carry concealed. I don't see any point in it. The very people that created the problem in Milwaukee, and Earl just mentioned them, took away a power from this gentleman. They're sitting on $7 billion of our taxpayer money that can start correcting this immediately. But they pass out guns with no justification for owning them and no credibility for owning them. They refuse to accept the responsibility of putting the guns in the hands of our people in the state of Wisconsin. And then the very money that we had to take care of it, they're refusing to give us. They just, Earl, just you just mentioned how they took away this man's power. This is shameful. This is why how an anarchy starts. We have to knock on the doors of those people in the state of Wisconsin, those legislators, and demand they do one of two things, either resign or start representing us, because the third choice is they're going to be investigated. It's just around the corner. So thanks, Earl. Really always hit the bullseye, Earl.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. You want to respond to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want listeners to think that this is an anti-gun message that I'm bringing today. This is simply a parent's message. I'd say the same thing about marijuana. We legalize marijuana, and it's in households. First thing that's going to happen is the kids are going to get it. I mean, that's just a parent you know. And when you put more guns in households, you're going to have more kids with guns. And the kids then learn how to get guns, where it's possible to break into cars and find them in trunks. And so one of the things that is most important for listeners to understand is that the police in Milwaukee, the police chief in Milwaukee, understand the challenge. And they're working with groups like the Bucks. They're working with community groups. How do we get these kids engaged? How do we give them something to focus on other than hanging out on the street, getting in trouble? And they're working with mental health professionals, right? Because the chief and the police force in Milwaukee understand where the problem is. And the difficulty with this law is that folks in Madison, around the state, thinking they have the answers based on whether it's FBI crime statistics that track federal crimes that have nothing to do with crime on the street in the city, or they're playing into some broader narrative, which is they want to say that there's American carnage out there because there's an election coming up and scaring people is a good way to win votes. But the reality is, let's stop interfering with self-government. Let's let the people who live in the jurisdiction, who understand the problem and its roots, work on the solutions. Don't dictate from a field. I don't try to dictate what goes on in Mequon or Waukesha or Oconomowoc or La Crosse or Wausau. I don't try to tell them how to run their city. Please let us deal with local problems with local solutions.
Go ahead, CJ.
Well, the mere fact that we've watched how your cities are being run and the DAs and the judges, people are in and out of jail, or never even get sent to jail. We've been watching how that works. Defund the police, no cash bail. Those are the proposals we've seen. And that's where the crime rises. People who have guns responsibly teach their kids how to handle guns responsibly. So this discussion, yes, maybe has great intentions, but we've watched from afar to see how the justice system, and here's another thing, the mere fact that these kids supposedly it's joyriding and whatever, there's no, you've talked about there's no supervision. There aren't fathers. There's not both parents in the household. We've seen that grow day to day, year to year. And it's just, you know, culminized by these kids. They get younger and younger, and the crimes that they commit
Did you hear Mr. Fallone say, Attorney Fallone say that the police are working on this with the community? Did you not hear that?
And the judges, Earl, how many times does this youth have to be arrested? And trust me, thugs come in all colors, shapes, and sizes, and ages.
Okay, well, so we, you know, this is Attorney Fallone, so
well,
let him respond.
Look, the only thing I'd say in response is, first of all, I wasn't in charge of the judicial system. I was frustrated as well when our police are arresting people on multiple occasions, and it takes forever for individuals to get to trial, and then in that case, sentenced to prison. We're all frustrated by that. But, you know, to take away my power because of failings in the judicial system, that didn't connect with me. And yes, there are things going on around the country, and people get upset about it when they watch their cable news. But just because something happens in Baltimore or something happens in New York City, Milwaukee's not doing that. You know, we're not defunding the police. The Fire and Police Commission has spent 2 years working its tail off to get as many officers on the street as possible and to give them the resources they need to succeed. So why should I be blamed at the Fire and Police Commission of Milwaukee because someone in New York City screams defund the police? Again, it doesn't connect. So focus on the job we did. You know, we've had 2 years of very, focused, strategic crime reduction strategies that are showing results. Don't blame me for what happened 20 years ago. Don't blame me for what's going on across the country. Focus on the job we've done in the last 2 years. We did an outstanding job. The residents of the community appreciated it. The police chief has been a partner in all of this. And that's when you take our power away. Makes no sense.
And what you guys have done has been exemplary. And I've said it as somebody who lives there and has lived there for 69 years. And so I saw the positive things that you guys were doing. And to bring that to an end, I think should be criminal. And, to lose you and what you were doing, I don't know how we overcome that.
Well, the commissioners who are remaining are determined to keep fighting on for the good fight. And the residents of Milwaukee will continue to oversee police and fire however we're possible to do it.
All right. Thank you, my good friend, Mr. Ed Fallone. We got to get you back.
Thank you.
All right. I got to get out of here. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. So...